All right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy 2017.
Happy not 2016. That's what I have.
Yeah.
On my calendar.
2016 was rough.
It was a doozy.
This is yours.
Oh, thank you. As you say, 2016 was rough. You hand me a glass of whiskey. Thank you.
Thanks, Jameson, for sponsoring the first episode of 2017.
Oh, boy. Jameson, you boys and girls mm-hmm. and men and women and children, mm-hmm. they all make it possible. They're all named Jameson.
Jameson. Mr. Mrs. Jameson Jr., Jameson the Fourth.
Jameson Jr. Jones.
Ooh. Yeah. That's actually not a bad name.
It's not.
Jameson Jones? Let's see. Wait, hold on.
Sounds like a
Jameson
Tarantino.
Scott. That's Jameson. Not bad.
No. No, Scott's definitely... Scott is a... It's like a punctuated... last name.
Yeah.
You can kind of end a sentence real quick with it.
Yeah. Jameson Cole.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad.
Jameson Colon Scott. Oh, that sounds like I'm saying colon.
Colon. Yeah. His middle name's Colon. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you are here in my apartment.
We haven't had an episode in 4 months. Maybe three. Can you
early October?
Early October, I think.
Yeah.
It was right when the most amount of shit would hit the fan.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Both in I'd say like obviously the political world, but like just in a I don't know, I felt like we had a lot of moving parts, even just between
literal moving.
Actual.
I had literal moving.
You have a new address. The episode that was before this, I don't think much has changed since we started the podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we're doing it, let's start there and say.
You know, I was thinking about this in the shower this morning.
Good.
As I do.
Yeah, yeah. Shower thoughts.
Are we, what is this, year four? Is this year four?
Four things are going to happen?
Yeah.
Like
next month would be. No, Mother's Day would
2012.
Be.
2012. I think we started it the year after I moved here.
So
it was 2013.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on four. It's a toddler.
It is. It can walk.
It's a 24 episode.
Yeah.
Toddler.
Yeah.
Those two numbers, the fact that we have 24 episodes, I think it's 24, mm-hmm. divided, like that means one episode every 2 months, which that sounds about right.
Look, the fact that we've done more than one.
You're always impressed.
I'm really impressed we've done more than one.
Even though the number only increases by one more than the last time, you're always super impressed that it's that number.
Yeah, yeah. I think I made a remark a few episodes ago that we're going to hit the point where the number of episodes we do is going to be as old as us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll have to...
But that might take another year.
I will be so disappointed. No. We don't both turn... You're an 87, right?
Yeah, you turn... Yeah. I turn 30 in March, you in September.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. No, we... Listen, we definitely...
We have to have 30.
We have to have 30 this year. The end of the year. That's our pledge.
Yeah, people. We're going to give you six.
I think it's just really good at the beginning of the year to set a bunch of expectations. Just a whole lot of commitments.
I'm going
to
lose weight.
Lose weight.
I'm going to get ripped.
Get ripped.
I'm going to... My bank account's going to be in the green.
Swole. Yeah, hell yeah.
And none of those things are going to be true. Just
I'm lowering the bar for myself. I'm just going not red.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for overdrafting my account once per quarter, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not bad.
No, I'm protected from that now.
Yeah, you got that debit card protection.
It's the protection, yeah. And it's funny that it costs money to use the protection.
Of course it does.
It's so weird.
If you don't keep a certain balance in your account, you lose money.
And like, you know what, Wells Fargo? You and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
No.
My bank account is one of them.
Yeah, no. Bank account has different opinions.
But it's been a doozy of a year. Like, I mean, we actually have a bit more prepared for this episode than we ever usually do. And
yeah, so for the listener, you're going to see this based on the title and stuff. We're doing the best of 2016 music.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last time we did a music episode, we figured out we're going to do it about 15 minutes before at a coffee shop and then played music off of my speakers.
Really?
And that's recorded. How we did it. Yeah, and we recorded the sound in the room.
I don't feel like that's a bad. You say that as though we've grown so much, which we have. But yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, the early podcast days, I mean, that was raw.
It was raw. It was like you were there.
I was using a vocoder microphone.
Yeah, it was also being held on by a piece of gaffer's tape. So yeah, we've improved.
I don't like. I feel like you can solve so many problems with tape.
You can. You absolutely can. And
so many problems in production.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, now we have these little tools.
Now we've got cables.
We've got cables. We've boxes. Got interfaces. We actually have two interfaces right now.
Yeah, two software programs running simultaneously.
Josh and I have combined all of this together for you to have a better listening experience.
Yeah, yeah. We're trying.
While we
2017.
Hey, yo. can we upgrade from worldwide this year?
Yeah. Where are we gonna go? Intergalactic.
Stratosphere. Oh, yeah, intergalactic. That's so much less sexier, but intergalactic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to space.
Yeah. So I think there were at least 20 occasions in 2016. One of us would text the other one saying, oh, my God, this year is insane with music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I put together a list.
You did.
An incomplete list, but I went through Wikipedia this morning before you came and went through and just pulled the names of artists who released albums or EPs or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is in chronological order, and I definitely missed people. So if I missed your favorite artist, I'm not sorry. There's a lot of names.
Well, and yes, and Josh's taste in music is correct. And so if he missed somebody, you know.
Oh, I had artists on here that I didn't even know they had albums released because this year was insane. So I'm going to start it off. And this is kind of in chronological order.
Yeah.
David Bowie, Anderson Paak,
yeah.
Rihanna, Kanye, Kendrick, M83, Beyonce, Drake, James Blake, Kate Renata, Radiohead, Disclosure, Chance the Rapper released two albums.
Yes.
I didn't even write this one down, but I just remembered Gucci Mane,
yeah.
Three albums. By the way, that list I just gave you was June.
Wait.
That was through June. I'm not done.
Just up until 6 months.
Yeah. Maxwell, Snoop Dogg, Schoolboy Q, Frank Ocean released two albums. Britney Spears released an album. De La Soul released an album. Local Natives, Luna George, Mac Miller, Usher, Warpaint, Bon Iver, Solange, Tyco, Green Day. I didn't even know Green Day had an album this year.
And
Kings of Leon, also, didn't know they had an album
this neither.
Year.
Me neither. I just found that out.
Alicia Keys, Common.
Alicia, dude.
A Tribe Called Quest, Bruno
yes.
Mars, Disturbed, The Weeknd, Gambino. This is December. Gambino, yeah. Dedmau, John Legend, The Rolling Stones, Hamilton had a mixtape, J. Cole, Kid Cudi, Nine Inch Nails.
Woo!
Is there anyone missing? Jay-Z, I think, is the only name that's missing.
Like, oh, you mean who should have released an album that year? Like, if this was the year for you to release an album, like, you should have done it.
Like,
you should have got through the door.
What AAA listers didn't release an album? Like, Taylor Swift, Adele, and Jay-Z,
Metallica.
I would say. Metallica may have released something and I missed it.
No, I saw them in the news for some reason. I'm not sure why, but no.
I assume they're still suing Kazam.
Yeah. Or Napster.
Napster.
Yeah, jeez.
LimeWire.
Oh, boy.
BearShare.
Good programs. I mean, like, those are the list of programs that died in 2016.
Yeah.
It was a rough year. No, those are A-list names. So,
yeah.
I mean, the fact that so many of those A-listers put out, I mean, if you just go one rung below, I mean, you have just tons of great releases there. Like,
and there was stuff that I didn't name
coming out.
That people we just loved.
Right. Right.
Like
Bryson Tiller's album
came out. Bryson Tiller's album came out, I think, in 2016. No Name's album came out in 2016.
Knowledge
dropped like two records in 2016.
Come on.
The Division record in 2016. I mean, it was just tons of stuff.
So what we had to do, though,
was it dangerous?
Yeah, it was.
I'm like scared for your iPad.
My
right
iPad
now.
Just snapped in half. But you know what? It's been a hell of a year, so I can't even, you know, like, screw technology. I've got an iPod. It's fine.
Yeah.
With that huge list, everyone started their 2016 list in like November.
It was
like,
so stupid.
What are you doing?
I saw at least three lists that didn't have Gambino's album. Oh,
Run the Jewels.
The Jewels came out. Yeah, I totally forgot Run the Jewels came out Christmas
so
Day.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, yes. I think, actually, let's just make it known during the episode that we can just spout out an album that we forgot that came out.
Yeah.
And just, like, let it be, like, okay to do that.
Yeah. Okay. But so many 2016 lists did not include Childish Gambino. And if you have 50 records on a list and you didn't include Gambino, even if you didn't love the record,
right.
It was one of the best 50 records of 2016.
I can agree with you. Absolutely.
And also, I mean, I still haven't listened to the Cudi album. The J. Cole album's fine. But those are albums that weren't included on lists that may have potentially been on lists.
Absolutely.
Guys, 2013, December 13th, 2013, Beyonce released Beyonce. And it wasn't on any 2013 lists.
Right.
Don't put your list together until after January 1st.
Exactly.
You can have a running list.
Yeah.
But just make sure Nine Inch Nails doesn't release a record at the end of the year.
Yes, I do have opinions about it. I wonder if we'll table it for now. I do have opinions about that release in particular, the Nine Inch Nails one.
I didn't like it.
I didn't love it. I'm going to say I didn't love it.
Sure.
I'm glad that you – okay, I think the list thing kind of came from you last year because we did an episode like this at the beginning of 2016.
Beginning of 2016.
Where you had like a running list of the podcasts you had listened to, all that stuff.
Yeah, I had a list of everything, every piece of new media I took in 2015.
And then your note-taking program took a crap.
Dropbox notes failed on me.
Dropbox.
That's why I switched to Apple because they don't ever fail me.
Maps. So with all of that happening, I think there's two combinations of things where you have a best of list, and that's so subjective. Like, I want to do a thing where we define, because we have a best of list, and then we have interesting best of, we have a best of collection.
Sure.
I'd say a collection of categories that we put together, and I'm excited to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I lost it. Best of what? Okay, so don't put your best of list out too early.
Yeah.
And then
I don't think you should be ranking the records either.
Right.
Just give me an alphabetical order, which I think Pitchfork did.
Oh, really?
Just of the 50 best records of the year.
I see. You're not counting down to it.
Yeah. Like, we all know what the best record of the year is. All right? We know it was Life of Pablo.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding. I don't actually think
that. Here we go. Let's go.
I actually don't believe that at all.
I think it was the most compelling record of the year because
I actually don't even know if that's true.
Oh, well, it's the only album that changed after it was released. It's the only album that had the superpower to evolve.
Yeah. Also, I forgot Lido released a record in 2016, which you were saying the most compelling record. That would be my most compelling record.
What is Lido's?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so interesting.
Is it because of the Jaden?
And I think Jaden released a track.
Yeah, he did.
So if we had the people who released singles in 2016,
right,
that would be insane. Because Jaden Smith obviously had the best song of 2016.
Well, with that in mind, like I think what I lost my thought on was how we went about getting our categories and how we went essentially, like, you can't just do this thing where it's everything is in the race for the same thing, and that same thing being the best.
Yeah,
I wanted to get into how we, before we went into it, I wanted to talk about what best meant to you, or maybe what best means to me as well.
In reference to our five categories we've chosen?
Right.
Okay. Well, we should say we've got five categories.
We've got five categories. We've got five best of 2016 categories.
But they're for the most part, they're pretty unique. They're not like the best rock record.
No.
We're not the Grammys. We're not trying to figure out what the best like heavy metal record of 2016 is.
This is legitimately the genres that Josh and I split music into.
Yeah. And it's not even, it's sort of, they're pretty, some of them are pretty specific and some of them are pretty, unique, but all right, we're gonna go in order of what we have written down. Best usage of Anderson .Paak.
Now that's he's best usage meaning best non-primary Anderson .Paak song.
Nothing from Malibu,
right?
His record from January, which came out
in
2016. but and we came up with this. I think at least for me, Anderson .Paak MVP of 2016.
Feel you,
like everything he touched. That I think this category is actually hard. because I had to choose from a lot of songs.
Absolutely. And what the cool thing is that I know that Anderson .Paak made a lot of top lists, mm-hmm. but basically is who did he work with? Who did he imbue mm-hmm. as well? Who mm-hmm. did he, like, basically Drake style lift up into, hey, mm-hmm. now you are great.
Yeah.
Next category.
Next category is best use of the 808 drum machine.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this was you.
This was my thing, because I think that 808 has such an important role in the music that we listen to. Mm-hmm. I think it's in almost a majority of it. Mm-hmm. If you look at an album, like maybe a song doesn't use it, but at some point you're going to need a fat bass hit or something like that. And you'll just go to this machine.
Yeah.
I'm particularly excited because I do think that we have a cross section of music, and then we also, just as wide as we cross over, mm-hmm. we have a section of music that we don't cross over.
Yeah.
And I do think that we're going to have two songs from those side of, you know, from the nether regions of that spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. Our next category is best unlikely collaboration.
Yeah. That's a
fun one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Who got together that we just didn't think that they had each other's phone numbers?
Yeah. Yeah. And even if they did, they wouldn't go to the studio together.
They're not getting coffee.
No.
These people are not getting coffee. They're not. But that's why it's unlikely, because they did.
Yeah.
At some point, someone was getting Starbucks for both name here and name there.
Yeah.
And that employee was like, what are these two people doing?
Yeah. 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 Our next category is this. Now we're getting a little broad.
Yeah.
Last two are a little broad.
I think the last two are broad, and that's okay.
Yeah, but there's a new phenomenon, I think, actually since the December 13th, 2013, of the surprise album.
The Wreck-Em Ralphs.
Yeah.
The Break the Internet.
Yeah, the Break the Internet. So we have the best surprise album, and I think I can say a surprise album is showed up within the week.
Right. Kind of said thing. I was going to do it, and then I did it.
Yeah. And okay. We know there's nothing, honestly, there's nothing surprise about Kanye releasing an album in 2016.
No.
But.
Well, no, it's because he took a year to release that album. If he had said nothing up until that point,
it just appeared one day.
But he named the album publicly.
Yeah.
Three times.
He changed the name three times.
I would say that he, like, yes.
Swish, Waves, and then Life of Pablo.
There's even another one in there.
I think there is another one.
But whatever.
But yeah, we knew it was coming. We didn't necessarily know when the final master.
Good version. Ass Job. I think that was the original name.
Oh, okay.
And then Do a Good Ass is all the history.
Yeah. So surprise album is something that maybe somebody tweeted, this is coming Friday, and it was Thursday.
and caused another morning of Josh and Brandon basically trying to be first to say, did you see?
Yeah.
Did you click?
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, we have the most important song of 2016.
I love this one. Yeah. I think you came up with this idea. Yeah. And it resonates with me because it actually goes into this thought that best and important have two different, very different distinctions.
And then there's the third one of favorite. You can say what the best song is, but is it your favorite or is it actually the best?
So I will say this. This is my, and this is what I blanked on earlier because it was kind of not complex, but the thought is what best means is which one am I going to listen to the most?
Right.
I think that's my definition of best because you can appreciate something way more than you appreciate something else, but not engage with it as much.
Right.
What, like, is that, does that clear for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think we might have different definitions of most important track though.
I do. I do think we're going to have that
and that's fine.
Yeah. I think we'll have that.
Yeah. And that's it. Those are our five categories. They are unique.
They're unique and they're fun to put together. My iPad's going to break in half if I don't.
You got to stop doing that. We didn't want to have our five favorite albums of 2016 because they're going to be the same.
They're going to be the same. And also, there's nothing to that conversation is such an bar fight conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Like we can have the top five episode later where we're like, who are the top five? I saw this on Twitter last night. For some reason there was a discussion about 90s R&B, and I regret every. I don't regret not being on Twitter all night last night.
It was Saturday.
It was Saturday, but when I saw that at like midnight when I was going to bed, I was a little upset that I wasn't involved in this conversation because 90s R&B is kind of my everything.
It's almost as though it's not like there's new 90s R&B, but there's new attention on it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's fresh ears and eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely showing up now, like 20 years later. Almost. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I have a desire in my life. I want to be the, let's say there's a news show, and they need to bring on a influential person to talk about music.
Yes.
But specifically about Boys to Men.
Like, yeah.
I want to be the guy people call because they want an expert on Boys to Men to come in and talk about things.
It's because you can unpack. It's like, what is that? When on that one Pawn Stars show,
sure.
When they call the expert.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to be that guy, but I want Don Lemon when he's like trying to, have a discussion about music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm one of the boxes.
Oh, right. Right.
And I want the lower third to say like Joshua Cole, expert on Boys to Men relations.
Yes, yes. That's a terrible sentence.
Yeah, it's probably not great.
I'm into it though.
But I think I'm going to start writing the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Book on Boys to Men.
Start preparing yourself. Will you call it the book on Boys to Men?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Have you heard of the good book? Mm-hmm. Boys to Men.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a bestseller.
I'll buy it.
Thank you. I'd hope so. I'll also sign a copy for you. So when I'm New York Times bestseller for the book on Boys to Men, you can sell it on eBay.
Boys to Men. That's a name that was missing from this year.
It was missing from this year. I was going to say,
if you drop
I think I forgot a name. Oh, no, I said it. It was on here at least. Okay. Bruno Mars released the best Boys to Men record in 20 years. Like Bruno Mars released the best. If we had a category of best Boys to Men record, Bruno Mars released the best Boys to Men record since 1994.
Table that for next year. I do think that we will do 2017's best of list is going to be dope.
Yeah,
because now that we've done it once, we'll most important track. We'll just do least important track. Something by Azalea Banks.
Oh, rough. True though.
Rough. Why am I hating? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but like the worst. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
I'll go first.
Yeah, because you've got a better control over this contraption.
So what I'm going to do here is start off with the best Anderson .Paak song, the best usage of Anderson .Paak. Basically, who called Anderson .Paak and he was in like the best mood, had just had a bunch of pizza and sex in Hawaii, and like he came in just with like flames and bars. And I think that those are the guys over at Odd Future Wolfgang, kill them all, fuck them all. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I actually don't. I'm not a big Tyler
the Creator.
I'm not a big Tyler fan. So
word. Well, a dude on his label.
Odd Future is his label. Yeah.
Odd Future is Tyler's label. This guy Domo Genesis came out with pretty much a self-titled album named Genesis, and it has a song named Dapper that features Anderson .Paak, and we're just gonna start playing it. You know. Come on now, hold up. Smoke, smoke, pack, pack, pack. Come on, don't stop to hold it. Baby, you got to hold on. Yeah. Smoke, smoke, pack, pack, fire. Baby, we can dance if you like. Shake that pretty ass when it's flashing and light off. One glance can only get mad. King of the chorus, my opinion.
He is.
And I also feel like a lot of the songs that he's featured on, I think we'll even experience it with your pick. No matter what it is, I feel like Anderson .Paak comes into the room and he has just certain instrumentation with him, kind of like the way Chance does.
Yeah,
Yeah, like Nico is going to be in the corner with his trumpet on, like, even if it's a Kanye record, yeah. There's going to be some trumpet in the corner.
Right, exactly. Like, that's the soundtrack of his life. Yeah. Like, it's just a trumpet that's always playing.
Yeah.
But I think Anderson .Paak has, like, and actually, maybe we can play yours, and then we'll actually maybe talk about our tracks retrospectively.
Yeah,
or should
yeah,
I
yeah.
talk more about mine?
We can then have the discussion. But
yeah, exactly, and kind of match them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me... one of my favorite records of 16 was K. Tronada's 99%, 99.9%.
Great record.
And I think the first single off of it was Glowed Up with our friend
with the
MVP,
yeah.
Anderson .Paak. To jump in, get a piece of this bread, pudding, wake up, cake up, walking in the form of my elders. I'm glowed up, bitch. Don't I look like a pharaoh? Fuck your story, tell nigga, pull up, shit and piss on your head, nigga, clocking. Grab my check out the mail room, then back in. Papa, daddy, Warbucks, like Warhol with an eight ball and a paintbrush. I'm AWOL, but I ain't done. My dude,
yeah.
My dude is on hooks. He can do the chorus.
Yep.
And he can do your bars.
Yep.
All of it. Off the top though, I wanna address something.
Yeah.
Is that something that I knew was gonna be in your song, no matter what, because I listened to most of the featuring Anderson .Paak songs.
Yeah.
They all have this like nice percussion going on.
Yeah. He's a drummer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's his Nico.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
his Nico trumpet sound is this. Like really, not intricate, but like in the pocket percussion.
Yeah.
When he's rapping.
Yeah.
I assume you go in the studio with Paak and he records everything while sitting on a track, sitting in a drum set.
Yes.
Like you have to change your entire song.
Right. No, exactly. It's like no. We already kind of have the drum track. It's like nah, like, man.
No,
like,
you don't.
I can't rap without playing it. No, man. So, K. Tronada, big year for this guy.
Yeah, huge year.
Big year. Who could make your year bigger?
Pop. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the Genesis, I mean, that project was going to be big no matter what just because of whose label he's on. You know, he's got Taco and Tyler and, like, all these people.
Right.
And then who's going to make your year better? Pop.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, dude released two records this year.
Yeah,
One under his name, one with Knowledge.
Mm.
The
right.
What's the name of their record?
No Worries.
No Worries. Right.
Yeah.
Who's the producer?
Knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
It's interesting. We both didn't choose that, but it's like kind of like the work itself.
Yeah.
Is the piece not one particular song?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I was listening to all of the features this year, and I couldn't even, I only had the ones that were in my Apple library. Like, I hadn't heard that Domo Genesis.
Oh, you didn't hear the, yo, man.
There was like a paragraph. Like, there was like 10 lines, 10 different tracks to choose from, and they were all incredible.
Right. So, I mean, actually, I think there could be, Ludacris is one of those artists that if you're featuring him, your song is flames. I think.
Really?
You don't think so? He's got a heavy library of features.
Okay.
I mean, kind of like Drake in a way, you know, just basically a popular name. But if you're always in hip hop or, you know, you kind of stay in that lane,
right.
You're going to have a bunch of hits in there because
right.
You're just doing whatever.
Right.
Do you want to go to the next one?
Yeah, let's do the next
one. Yeah, let's go to the next. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. Let me hook up my best 808. Now, this was hard. This was hard.
Because every track.
Nearly every track that we listen to has this effect.
Yeah.
But I do think that this is going to be the first of many mentions of this particular artist.
Yeah.
So here we go. Okay. I can listen to that loop. I have listened to that loop on repeat for several minutes.
Yeah.
It's, and I think one of the, there's so much music using 808.
Right.
And it won't stop. And I don't think it should. It's kind of like, at this point, it's like a snare drum. It's like a delay pedal. It's a, or not pedal, but delay effect or Telecaster. 808 drum kick is like a Fender Telecaster in terms of, you want this sound, use this.
Right.
Start here.
Right.
And Bay's team, I mean, that song is, I don't know if it's simple, but, you know, people have used 808 in crazy, crazy ways ever since Trap and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This has, I'd say, minimal modulation,
right?
But it just fits so perfectly with everything else that's going around it, like,
right?
And we're all waiting for that kind of drop and that guttural feeling,
yeah.
And
yeah,
this song delivers that in every way,
especially like in your car, the bass is up a little high,
right.
Yeah. You're like next to a cop at a red light,
right? Exactly. And the thing is though, it's Queen, so like the cop is like, yeah, I know that jam. All right, that's, you know, I feel you, dog. I get you.
Yeah,
we're all stuck in traffic today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you got, though?
All right, so this one was hard.
And that's dumb. It's Beyonce's it's formation. Beyonce, like, yes. I don't need it's to say even, that, right? Like, no, yeah.
Okay. Well, you do, because I'm sure someone doesn't know Beyonce.
Where that came from, and this will be the first time
the first
like,
time they
what
ever hear
was that
the first time they ever hear Beyonce. I think there's a chance Beyonce is like gonna go places. I think she might be the best new artist of 2016.
I think she's so powerful that she has to like Phoenix like start over.
Yeah,
from the
I assume she goes into yeah. like a cocoon or something,
yeah,
and like
exactly.
just like a new just butterfly like, every
exactly.
2 years.
Oh,
of
boy, special gal.
All right, so this was so hard.
I know.
Almost
I mean,
as
I have
hard
runner
as the,
ups.
I yeah. I this is almost as hard as the next one. But for me, I took it very literally. I wanted to find my favorite track of 16 that may have only had like the eight. Like you could have produced most of this song.
I see
on the drum machine.
Yeah.
Have the audio, you know, bounce out. Person raps or sings over top of it, and then you're done.
Right, you're talking straight from the groove box.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wish I had stayed in that lane. I probably could have found something, but now I'm really interested in what you have.
It's hard. All right, so this one, did you listen to the Kamaya album?
I didn't.
It was one of those, I didn't hear about it until late in the year. It had come out over the summer.
Uh-huh.
And it was this like great hip-hop record that feels right out of the early 90s.
Oh, okay. And it's coming back, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's just get right into it.
That does sound straight from, that sounds like no, there was nothing in between the TR-808 and the...
And like and a little bit of synth.
They played it while they were recording. They didn't have...
Yeah.
How did you find that album?
Those silly lists at the end of the year.
Oh, really? You found it from another list?
Yeah. It kind of hit this place where the Kamai record and the No Name record kind of hit like lists around the same place.
Right.
Like I saw both of those records like top 10.
Whoa.
I love that No Name record. And this record I listened to really late in the year and really fell in love with it. And it feels super 90s.
Yeah, no, it definitely has that. It just has all the aesthetic from it.
Yeah, and I think she's an LA, like rapper. And
oh, okay.
It's great. It's really, really good. And
I wonder if we're biased towards LA artists in some way that we can hear it.
Oh, right.
I mean, I feel like Los Angeles was so... I mean, it's definitely a unbeatable area when it comes to... When it comes to emerging artists.
Yeah.
It's a jumping off point. But, like, in basically in the 90s, like, it was only here. Like...
Here in New York.
Here in New York. Yeah. Or I guess what I mean is... If you're going to make a song that sounds like 90s hip-hop, then it's probably 90s hip-hop from Los Angeles because there wasn't much out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I mean, there was Cleveland. Yeah.
There was plenty from Cleveland. What am I talking about?
There were really like three areas, right? You had your L.A., gangster rap, but like then there was the chill gangster rap. There was like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
there was your Nas and Biggie.
Right,
and then there was like that Southern thing that just always was there.
Yes, the hum of Southern rappers.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hit us up. Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
What do we got next?
What do we got? Best unlikely collaboration.
Best unlikely collaboration.
And this one might be fun.
I think it is going to be fun. I'll go first again unless you're
No, please.
Okay. So this is...
I'm already questioning this one as unlikely.
You're questioning it as unlikely because of the people involved.
Uh-huh.
Because they're both from the Selection mm-hmm. group. Mm-hmm. But there's a third in here.
Mm-hmm.
By the name of Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a track from Jameson. We have a track from Taku featuring Jameson and Sango.
Right.
Taku and Sango being of the Selection family. I'm not sure if, it's definitely a label, but, you know, we're not sure where the official lines lie on that. But Jameson, with that track About It, like just kind of smooth white kid. Super smooth white kid, So I thought it was interesting that they had, again, this is more like, I didn't know that these people had each other's numbers or like were into each other's jams like that. So
right.
It took me by surprise to hear it, but definitely delighted.
Give it time. Cause this ain't no race, no. You'll be fine. Do whatever it takes, oh. Just realize. Saw what you make it. Truth and lies, it's a stupid lies. The real and the fake, yeah. So you and me.
I don't think Sango should. Taku and Sango, like, they need vocalists like that to make, like, their tracks are definitely some of the, my most favorite listened to songs are from those two.
Right.
But the third element, I think, like.
They need a smooth white boy.
They need a smooth white kid just to make it all happen. So I was definitely surprised by that collaboration, seeing the track name, like, oh, every single one of these names is something that I like.
Right.
Let me dive in.
You know, Jameson did some stuff on the Mad City record.
Kendrick's. I do.
This is a dude who floats around and he doesn't make sense in any situation.
It doesn't. Exactly.
Vocally, he makes sense, but like when you look at
his persona,
who are you, dude?
He looks a little bit like Jesus.
I'm happy about it. I'm happy that a Jesus looking person is around.
But
these
like
guys.
White Jesus. He looks like white Jesus.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, not any less or more disappointing, you know.
So yeah, that's my pick for most unlikely.
Yeah,
it might have been a surprise just because I'm just now getting into Jameson.
Oh right,
and well,
his last two records are really good.
So I guess what it is like, yes, he's been there, but now he's over here in this Sango Taku world,
right.
Which is what I would definitely consider that underground or, you know, still not too mainstream.
No, not mainstream.
There are Selection subscribers such as you and I, but Jameson to come in and kind of shake things up like this,
yeah,
way cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's on me, right?
Yeah, it's on you.
Why? So
starting with why?
Chances in the studio. He's in the studio in Chicago.
Yep. He in the cut.
Yeah. Tokyo's there because he's always there.
Right. Tokyo is the, yeah,
he's just hanging around
because they're friends. Nico type character.
Yeah, they're friends. He's hanging out in the studio. He has nothing else to do.
Right.
And then Justin Bieber shows up.
Of course.
And it don't make sense. Like, why is Justin Bieber there?
He's probably selling weed. Chance is so cool that he buys weed from Justin Bieber.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of questions in there.
I have a lot of questions.
I get it.
I have a lot of questions. The rink was the place, but in that space and time, I was too young for you. As you are for me to worry about fruities and truths, till I find out all of the shorties with cooties was cute and realize what booties could do. We gon' get it poppin', we gon' get it jukin', we gon' throw a party, and we ain't gotta do shit. You came with your best friend, came up for the weekend, going with your party, so tell me what you thinkin'. So we gon' have a jukin'. We can have a party, just listening to music like we used to do. I get close to you, I remember you. You used to, I remember you, cause we've got so much that's history. That's the part, baby, that I wanted.
I mean, don't.
I forgot how long that pre-chorus was.
Oh, hey, man, no, you gotta prepare for Justin. You can't just show up with him.
Yeah,
I Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
whatever him and his team are doing, it's working.
Is it working?
Yeah,
are you a Bieberite? Whatever his name, his fans were Bieber. Bieberies.
They call themselves Boob. Bebreebers.
Bebreebers? Yeah. Oh, Beliebers.
Beliebers.
That's what it was.
I just said it wrong. But the point is that, yes, he's...
Are you in the camp that says Justin Bieber's cool?
I don't think he's uncool. There's no one uncool has ever controlled culture like that. Or maybe not culture, but you have a screaming auditorium.
Yeah. There's been uncool people.
He's the Kanye West of white people. Gets away with everything. And then actually gets stronger. He does something wrong. He grows strong.
He does do weird things to his hair.
Yeah, hair, tattoos. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You don't get a bunch of tattoos at once.
Is Miley cool?
Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
Judging by the fact that I had to ask a question, no.
But she's on that level.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The truth is I've just never, like, truly enjoyed a Miley Cyrus song from inside.
No.
And there are many Justin songs that I like from inside, like some from inside my person I like them.
Are there Taylor Swift songs that you think are cool? There's a couple that are fine.
Yeah.
And there's a couple. I mean, Shake It Off is a fantastic pop song.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah,
I think that song will go down in her history.
Yeah, I mean, it's her best. It's her best record. Best song.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought. I'm glad that Justin Bieber showed up on this list, because otherwise, without this song, he wouldn't have been on it. Did he release? He didn't release a record.
No, he's not on the list.
Yeah,
he's not on my list. He was too busy doing features and shit. Yeah, yeah. I don't understand.
That's why he was just busy. Yeah.
And he comes in to do the chorus. He basically sings the word juke jam. And that's it.
Yo, man. Like, it's all about the art.
That Chance record has so many good features.
Yep.
And the first time I heard it, I heard Justin Bieber was on it, and I couldn't discern Bieber from Tokyo.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then I thought about it for a second. I go, oh, that's the Bieber part. Why is he there? Why didn't you just let
Tokyo do it?
Yeah.
No.
It's very strange.
I bet it was like a weird kind of tension-y moment where like Justin was there and they were working on a song.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I want to be on the song. And they're like, ah.
Oh. Yeah.
They look at each other like, juke jam.
Yeah. I do have a thought.
did we see Chance in 2015 or 16?
I think it was 2015. Okay. I don't think we saw him last year.
Okay, because there was that moment where Skrillex jumped on stage at Chance's, and that was weird.
That was a close runner-up to my most unlikely collaboration was Chance and Skrillex.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Chance worked with such a wide array of artists mm-hmm. that he had to have been a part of the most unlikely thing. I was like, yeah. Because, you know, like, didn't he do something with Marilyn Manson? Like, no, that, okay, I'm remembering it wrong, but still.
Yeah. All right. We got our last two.
We got our last two.
And this might be, we haven't debated much.
No.
And I think we're going to.
You do.
I think it's going to happen.
Okay. Which category is this?
This category is best surprise album.
Yes.
And I think we're going to have a little debate here.
I do, because I think I might be, it's that definition of best
yeah.
that we're working on.
Yeah.
Will you please go first on this one?
I'll go first.
Will you go first on this one?
I'll go first on this one. Thank you. I'm going to load it up. So there were a lot of surprise albums this year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Beyonce.
Bay. Frank.
Frank two times two.
Times two.
I'm just going to look at this list. I mean, did Views was kind of, not, no, Views wasn't. I feel like the James Blake album was a little bit of a surprise. I feel like we heard
didn't
about
know,
it.
We didn't know he was working on it.
Yeah.
You know? Tycho.
Tycho's record.
Didn't know he was working. I mean, kind of knew, but like.
The Solange record, Bon Iver, yeah. mm-hmm. people who hadn't released records in a long time. Right. Gambino.
Yeah, Bino. That was the surprise because he had the TV show and everything. Cole's album was a total Cuddy. Surprise. Yes.
Nine Inch Nails.
We kind of knew Cuddy was doing an album. He was kind of tweeting about it a lot.
Oh, was he? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know.
I mean, like, it wasn't. Yeah, but anyway, keep going.
But there's one.
Yeah.
That I think is the best.
Yeah.
And it seemed to come in the aforementioned way of a tweet on a Thursday saying something's happening on Saturday. And the thing that happened was the Untitled Unmastered record from Kendrick.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. And it kind of came out of nowhere. It ruined, not ruined, it enhanced and took over about 3 weeks of my iTunes. Like solid. Like blocked solid. Yeah. Was
Untitled Unmastered. Yeah, a calendar invite that's just like, don't call me, yeah.
don't
schedule a meeting.
I'm not available for work. I've got some Kendrick to listen to.
Specific
yeah.
work to do. Drugs won't get you high this. Fame won't get you high this. Chains won't get you high this. Juice won't get you high this. Crew won't get you high this. Hate won't get you high this. Levitate, 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 levitate. Love won't get you high this. Drugs won't get you high this. So you know how that record came?
No, I don't.
LeBron,
yes,
tweeted at Top Dog saying you need to release that record, and then he did.
Top Dog meaning Kendrick?
As the guy who runs their record label.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa!
It was like Tuesday. LeBron tweets Thursday. The head of their record label, Kendrick's record label, says something's happening on Saturday. Yeah. Saturday. Untitled Unmastered came out.
Wow.
So LeBron, thanks Ohio.
Thank you.
It's the best thing we did this year, actually. Again.
It was the best thing LeBron did last year,
and he won a championship.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I agree with this choice. Specifically, I was late to it. This was definitely one of those things that it happened so fast that I didn't have the window to react appropriately, basically saying, I have certain music that I listen to for certain things, and I just don't do new music during certain things because I want to do engaged listening, mm-hmm. especially if it's a Kendrick album.
Yeah.
I didn't have the space for engaged listening. When did this album come out?
I think it was March.
March.
February or March.
I don't think there was too much going on. Well,
if we look at my list here, it came out after Kanye initially released Pablo. So end of February, early March.
I just feel like there's a lot of noise happening, and maybe
whatever happened, I didn't get into this album until like maybe the end of summer.
Yeah.
Like beginning of fall.
Yeah.
And I was like, where have I been? Shit.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I knew it was a surprise album, but the surprise wears off. And so it wasn't a surprise album.
Yeah, you knew that was. Yeah.
Because it's like, I know that this is here.
So yeah.
Good, very, very good choice there.
Yeah. But, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to get into mine here.
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else for.
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. A surprise to me means a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And a surprise can be a surprise. See, this is the problem with surprise album, because I feel like there's two camps, or there could be two camps, or now there is.
Right.
Because you have the surprise album from the artist, but then you have the album. The album is content. You can have surprise content.
Mm-hmm.
And what my choice is not only was this a surprise album,
yeah,
this was surprised content,
sure,
from this artist who, sure, had already released an album earlier that year.
Yeah.
It's Chance the Rapper and Jeremih. They came out with a Christmas album. Like, see how much joy. Like,
yeah.
And while, yes, I did think that best surprise album did at the time, like, or at some points, it does mean which album am I going to play more.
Right.
I'm going to play Untitled and Unmastered more than I'm going to play the Christmas album.
You mean you're not going to play Christmas in April?
These songs are dope.
Yeah.
So, like, I might play that. There's one of these tracks that's not on here that says I should have left your ass in 2016. that's going to be, like, breakup song of the year. But this one is a Chance and Jeremih, I'm Your Santa from Merry Christmas, Little Mama.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Come on, we're gonna do this. Come on, we got this. Come on. It goes kick, kick, foot down, kick, kick. Don't look down, take a step back, turn around. Who taught you how to step? Who taught you how to step? Kick, kick, foot down, same damn thing. Don't look down, take a little break, come back around. Who taught you how to step? Who taught you how to step?
Come on.
It's so good.
Come on. Like, sometimes you could tell that people are, like, smiling while they're rapping. Like,
yeah.
He was doing that part and just, like, cheesing, like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like,
we're releasing a Christmas record.
So I think that's the best surprise, because I think surprise has a lot to do with context.
Sure.
And so this capitalized on just the idea, like, we're all doing Christmas, whatever.
Right.
2016's been a hell of a year. This guy already released an album. Jeremih and Chance are kind of known friends, but I mean,
yeah,
not an like, so it's not unlikely. So you see those two names together and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
And then they're like nine unheard songs and you're like, what?
Yeah.
So I think that I think the surprise factor was just as much the content,
sure,
as it was the fact that it was material from them.
Yeah, I feel like countering with that maybe that Gambino record.
Yeah, he should be
Gambino releasing a funk record.
Yeah,
like a 70s, like, blaxploitation funk record,
right,
like a George Clinton record.
I wish we had a clip from just any part of that.
Yeah.
Like, definitely a runner-up. If we did runner-ups, like,
yeah,
that would definitely be – what song would you choose, though?
Redbone.
Redbone? You sure you wouldn't choose California?
Yeah. I
God, I hate that song. Yes, we all do. He does.
I think that's – If we're going to go based on the idea of surprise as content, like, yeah, why is this person releasing this record?
That's an idea for 2017.
Yeah.
Most surprising content.
Once again, Justin Bieber and Chance the Rapper doing a song together.
I do think as long as Justin Bieber and Chance the Rapper are releasing things together, they will make the top of most unlikely things,
yeah,
to happen. Even if, like, guys, the past 5 years we've been doing songs, like,
yeah.
Yeah, but it still doesn't seem like you should know each other.
Yeah, like five records in a row, like five mixtapes they dropped together. Even on the fifth one, we're like, I'm not sure.
It's like, guys, we work really well musically together. Like,
it just doesn't quite.
It made more sense when you released that mixtape with Obama, Chance.
Right, exactly. Like it, and I mean, like, and he's Canadian, and he's in Chicago. Like, they were, like, regionally kind of close to each other, I imagine. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't see it.
It just doesn't make sense.
Let's get into... All right.
We're going to have a discussion.
Yeah. Which, actually, I do think that our two choices... We can see each other's choices before we play them. Yeah. And I do think that they both deserve the merit.
Yeah. But I think so.
I think I want to go first.
All right.
So, this is the most important track. Most important track. And what came out of here was... What song hit me in my chest? What song hit me behind the ribs? Mm-hmm. And so this track easily, like, it was from, and I'm talking, it doesn't take any time to get there. First note to last note of this song, captivated. Think it has a message that I'm familiar with, but it also can... teach you, I don't know what it can teach you, but just listening to the words, just perfect. And if that's unfamiliar, that's Frank Ocean's opening to Blonde. Song's titled Nikes, and essentially a song that, in a very Kendrick-like way, explains a scenario in which they are at the center of the story, and it just kind of revolves around their life. Mm-hmm. But it's so relatable. Like, later in the song, he has this line about Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. And, like, that kind of thought being brought back, surging into... I just thought it was... It's something that I haven't forgotten things like that. Mm-hmm. And he definitely was affected by it as well. So that's that familiar part. It kind of goes in a bunch of different ways, different directions that... I don't know. I think, like, it's important because I think people need to keep hearing stuff like that.
Right.
So that's why that Frank Ocean's Nikes is, like, I thought of that song right when we came up with this category.
Yeah? That was an immediate.
It was immediate, yeah.
Interesting.
It was because of the weird instrumentation.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of, you know, Frank Ocean released music, and I'm like, okay, play.
Right.
And then this is the first thing. Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah. Interesting.
What do you got?
All right. It's interesting your reasoning for choosing this one, because I think we're actually on the same page. We just chose different songs.
Oh, cool.
I did not choose a Frank Ocean song, but much like what you did, I'm going to just start it and then talk about it.
That drum fill. Real quick,
yeah.
Do you think Anderson .Paak played drums on this?
No, I don't. But he could have.
Yeah,
he didn't show up on that record, which was weird.
I agree. I agree that it's weird that he wasn't on this one.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. It's not like him and Bay have a song, right?
No, but
he's like in the
Dre circuit.
Right. Right.
So, I don't know. He was on, that's East Coast, West Coast.
I think that they could have done that alley-oop thing of we're both going to be huge hitters this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they both knew or, you know, maybe they didn't have the, maybe they just weren't on the radar.
Yeah. Do you think Master P knows who, who's doing Anderson Paak is?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I had as most unlikely, togetherness. I had it as Master P and Solange because right. when he comes on the intermission or the interludes, you're like, who, what?
Yeah.
Glad you chose the song. This is a good, really, really, really good song.
Cranes in the Sky, Solange. It's weird. We both chose, I think the Solange record, in particular is a very, in 2016, there was sort of, there were several albums that touched on Black Lives Matter and black life in modern times. I mean, you had Common's record,
right.
you had John Legend's record, you had Alicia Keys' record, you had Beyonce's record, which for the most part talked about like a relationship, but kind of Formation is very much a like song about, you know, black, being a black person and a
being powerful, particularly black person, a black woman.
And
I'm just not putting this together that Bey and Solange are sisters and they both wrote albums about being black. There's some like a click just happened for me with that.
Yeah. But I think the Solange record is sort of when we look back at 2016 and we look back at, I don't think any of these records are protest records.
No.
But these records are very much speaking to what's happening.
Yeah.
And I it's like a baby crying outside. I think the Cranes in the Sky is the song that speaks to it the best.
Okay.
I think if you're not looking at it as like a if we're not looking at it as like a black thing of like, oh, all these terrible things are happening to black people and whatever. If we just look at the lyrics of Cranes in the Sky and apply it to 2016, I think it might also be pretty accurate.
I think you're on like, something profound here. I think everyone was black in 2016.
But like, you know, some of the lyrics are like, I tried to drink it away. I tried to like sex it away. I tried to do all these things. I tried to, this feeling that I have.
Yeah.
I try to push away.
Yeah, totally.
And I try to do different things to, I try to change my hair. I try to do this. I try to do that to like push the feeling of like, in specific for her in this song is like all these things that are happening. Right. But if we apply it to a much grander scale, like, oh, Prince died, David Bowie died, George Michael died, like all these people died.
Right.
You know, Carrie Fisher died. And, you know, we just like, we can keep going. We can go on for too long.
And those deaths happened after this album, but it was like almost like this album came like saying like what has happened.
Yeah.
I'm addressing that, but there's more.
Yeah, there's more.
But this song might make you feel better.
Yeah. And even, you know, we go even broader. It's like, oh, Trump is president. And we like, we hear these like, we hear these lyrics about, you know, drinking it away and trying to get it away. And I feel like in 2016, we needed a song where somebody said, like, what we were all thinking. Like, we're trying
what we all did.
What we all did. Like, we all just tried to just not think about it.
Totally.
And I think this song encompassed that. And I think this record encompassed that. I mean, this record.
I think the record as a whole does it. It's a beautiful, beautiful sounding record. I mean, like orally sounding, as in all the interludes with the phone conversations and the degraded audio is just used so nicely.
And even if we look at it lyrically, and you know, we look at like Master P's conversation about what was his record?
It was about No Limit.
No Limit. Yeah,
it was like, that's why we said No Limit.
Yeah,
and like they tell me I was worth $1,000. Like, well. If he's telling me I'm worth $1,000, I must be worth like a million, at least two.
That's said pretty, exactly like
I'm, yeah, it's a pretty decent Master P impression.
But then, and then there's like the songs like Forest Bias, Don't Touch My Hair. I mean, it's a really, it's of the records that have come out in the last couple of years, like even D'Angelo's record, even Pimp a Butterfly, these records that touch on Black life in America, I think the Solange record is the capstone. It's the tip of the arrow. And also, not that this wasn't already known, but I think Black women taking over the music industry, I think Solange and Beyonce releasing two incredible records in the same year was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Without the coattails of either one. I don't think
And without the coattails of,
I think that Solange is like pure poetry, just like gorgeous poetry. And I feel like Beyonce is anthem, like it's just straight up, like
anger anthem. And they didn't need a single with a more. I mean, there's no one more popular than Beyonce, but neither one of them needed. Like a single with Jay-Z, or needed a single with a dude, or there's guys on both records.
James Blake was
almost my unlikely collaboration, because James Blake and it makes sense, because I know James Blake is in the studio with Kanye all the time.
Yep.
So, and you know, I assume Kanye and Beyonce still talk. Maybe. But
you know, but what most would have been a funny, most unlikely collaboration would be Kanye and Jay-Z.
But like the Solange record has guys on it, but like the Master P interlude is not about him, like a guy narrating the story.
Right.
It's just a tale of Black wealth, and it narrates through the whole album. And
no, I think it's I think there's plenty of pockets. I feel like you said most important track.
Yeah.
And then you hit an extremely important track that was surrounded by other just as important tracks.
Like, yeah. I think when we look back at 16 and we look at the songs that define it, I think Nike's is a really great example. And I think Frank Ocean as an artist is a really interesting artist in our time. And I think Cranes in the Sky is going to be a song we go, oh yeah, that's how we felt.
Yeah.
At that time.
I think that they had, these people, these artists, they have the perspective that we do. It's kind of like them saying, we are not above you. We are not, I'm Frank Ocean, and I'm not experiencing a different Black life than you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same one.
That lyric of, like, that guy looked like me. You know,
yeah, talking he looked about, just like me. Yeah, yeah, right. And I'm like, dude, and, like, I mean, I kind of thought that when I saw Trayvon's picture. And, I mean, hell, like, any of these, like, you can just say, it is important to say specifically the names, but there are so many.
There's too many. But, yeah.
A hard year. But like we started the podcast with that, like a hard year. But like I feel like as we went through this list, we had so many like good moments that we were able to like get into our feelings. You know, I mean, best 808, like that's a really happy feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime Anderson .Paak is on a song. What
do you think his first collaboration is going to be this year?
I don't know. Like
there's got to be one just waiting to go.
Well, I told you before we started recording, he's going on tour with Bruno Mars. He's opening for Bruno Mars. That was a show that I was considering going to because I love that Bruno Mars record.
Yeah.
But now that Anderson .Paak is opening,
yeah,
that's insane. That's going to be like the best 2 hours in November.
I just wonder if they're even going to – if there's going to be like a clear – Anderson is now and Bruno is now. They're both just going to tag team their audiences all night.
Do you think they're going to have like a drummer off? Like a drum off?
They're both drummers.
They're both really good drummers. Like wouldn't that be a great encore?
No backtracks. No songs.
No.
Roll
out a second drum kit.
Two drum kits.
I just have a straight up drum off for 15 minutes. And then Questlove is there like mediating.
Yeah.
Like he's going to say who won.
It's like that that movie Drumline.
Oh, Drumline. It's a great movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad we could circle around. Anytime you can bring up Drumline, it's a good time.
I'm going to hit you with this off the top of your head. What was your favorite record of 16? Favorite, not best.
Favorite. Yeah, favorite record of 2016. Wow, man, that's
This is weird because
you're going to say the Christmas album.
I think it's because favorite's different from best. It's different from most important.
Yeah.
My favorite record is probably Views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's.
Do you know what show you're on?
Yeah.
Come on.
I knew you wouldn't like it.
Well, it's because Views is. Is because
Western Where Road Flows is a great song.
It almost made the list. Enough. Yeah.
But it's not so good that it's going to be. Come on.
True. Okay. No. Like.
No.
Okay,
I'm not going to.
No. Don't refute it.
Okay. Here's the thing. Is that I think that Drake has an impossible mission to bridge the gap between
us and J-Lo.
That's exactly it. Maybe
Drake
maybe
had the best 2016.
Best life. Maybe the best. Like
Jennifer Lopez and Rihanna. He dated both Jennifer Lopez and Rihanna in 2016. Right. He's entering 2017. Like at the midnight struck and he kissed Jennifer Lopez.
I mean, and that's reflected in Views. Question was Drake and Future 2015.
Yeah, it was 2015.
That was
2015. Yeah. Listen, Jumpman was 2015.
Yeah. The reason that it's Views is because Views did something that I thought legitimately made. Wait, is Hotline Bling?
That was the last track of Views, but
right,
but I think it came out. Actually don't know when that came out.
He did something that I just think is weird. He made, like, the dance inside of that video is super corny and super weird, but like the thing is like you don't get to choose that Drake isn't worth this. It's like I've made it known that my value in this culture, in pop music culture, is this. And even if it sucks, even if it objectively is bad dancing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So maybe I'm looking at it as it's my favorite album because it's like, because it's proof that he doesn't care about what I think.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't care about what you think, but or also, any of us. Really.
I had like a listening party with it, and
yeah,
like,
you did.
It was like there's like a, I had a whole experience around it, and it was like, and it was super fun to kind of just live in that for a moment.
Sure,
yeah. It's one of the more listened to this past year out of like what we've been talking
about. Wow. All right.
tell me yours.
It's either that James Blake record.
Yeah, I almost chose that.
Or I think I can actually confidently say, now I think about it, James Vincent McMorrow's We Move.
Ah, yeah.
Produced by 1985, who also produced a lot of the Drake record.
So
and that Division record did change my life.
Yep.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
Who also 1985 produced that entire record.
I think there's something to be said about this. It's like
maybe we should move to Toronto and hang out with 40.
I just think that we're at. I mean, that's a big part of it too. Is because like I really respect the way that it sounds
musically. Drake records are
fantastic,
and then he ruins them.
I feel like they just play Drake kind of like the way Kanye plays his voice. Like we will. It's kind of like the way like we need some more keys on this song. Like Drake, you need to do some more mumbles.
But why does he have to have that voice? And he's not a good singer. Why do people
not.
Like Majid Jordan came out with the record in 15, and there's like a Drake song where he like for two verses he's singing. It's like,
yeah,
you can't sing, man.
True.
It's like Kanye, you also can't sing, but at least you turn autotune on. Like you're at least making it an instrument.
Right.
Drake.
Are we let's do some notables here.
Oh yeah, there was so much good stuff in 16.
But like I want to do like you like The Weeknd, right?
I still haven't listened to Starboy.
You haven't listened to Starboy?
No.
I haven't listened to Starboy. I thought you were going to tell me something about it.
No, I haven't listened to it.
Shit.
I don't like that single and I haven't listened to it. No. The Common record's really good.
Okay, yeah.
Tribe Called Quest.
Oh my gosh. How did that not make any of our lists?
Because didn't fit in any categories.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Tribe Called Quest.
Maybe we can do a best resurgent group category.
That way they can fit in next time.
Yeah. I mean, Bruno Mars had the best record of 2016. I'll go out.
Okay.
I mean, 24 Karat Magic is incredible.
Is it a start to finish type
of thing? Yeah. But okay. It's also the best. Bruno Mars 24 Karat Magic is the best record of 1994. It's not the best record of 2016. It's the best record of 1994.
Right. If you're going to get into a time machine and get there.
Yeah. And if that Bruno Mars record had come out in 1994, you would have won every Grammy.
Wait, are you sure? Because 1984, why am I remembering 94, that? 94. Yeah. No, he wouldn't have been. Yeah. He would have been fine.
Yeah. Boys to Men's Evolution came out.
Yeah. Oh,
jeez. And that's, I think, my favorite Boys to Men record. It's really tough.
You really need to get that side conversation going, man. I'm gonna find a way.
But yeah, that Bruno Mars. Oh, you know, here's the least the best record that I didn't expect to be really good.
Oh.
And you and I are on the same page on this one.
Yep.
Mac Miller. Divine Feminine.
That piece of awesome record. I cannot believe it.
And once again, Anderson .Paak.
Song after song after song. I mean, he had a couple of features in there as well. He had the one, Dang, which was
the first single.
No, not Anderson .Paak.
Oh, yeah. Like Bilal.
Mac, yeah.
On that first
and that's
song.
The opening track, right?
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
How is that record that good? I don't understand.
The one of the things is, like, when you release a record like that, he probably sat back and said, I knew I could do it. Yeah. Like, everything up until this point.
Yeah.
Dude, that record deserves a huge mention. Soundtrack of the summer, actually, for me. Actually,
yeah?
One of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it had heavy rotation on it.
Yeah. I'm gonna add on to your Beyonce. You loved Formation.
Yes.
I thought Freedom was the best. Freedom is my loop the shit out.
Like
Beyonce and Kendrick, who, like, of course that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when you put the two of them on a record together, it's like, fuck.
Yeah. No,
how do you even top that?
We need another super group, don't you think? 2017 super group?
Hmm.
Like, I mean, just get the fam together. Yay. Bay. J, K, dot,
K dot.
and
Dre.
I was seeing if I could go any further. That would be. I mean, like, yeah, we need all like nine, like yeah. nine or ten. Just yeah. like
we need. I mean, we might need like a like We Are the World, but with 2016.
Yes. I think that's what we should do. We should have a fantasy league for for singers.
Is there anything that you know is happening in 2017 that you're excited for? Are you yes, up on? Sampha is releasing a record in a couple of weeks. That Bonobo record comes out next week.
Bonobo.
I know those are two records that I've already pre-ordered on iTunes.
Yeah, the Jules album was supposed to be 2017.
Yeah,
so that's really cool.
There's
it came out early.
There's a little bit where that Run the Jewels record, where I was making our list.
Yeah,
and I kind of broke my own rule.
Why?
Because I was making our list before the end of 2016. Right. Now I don't think Run the Jewels wouldn't have trumped anything.
Yeah, right.
But the Run the Jewels record was like it affected some things for a moment.
They almost had a close runner up for a most important track, but I feel like it's just too new for it to be like. I think most important track to me like had to be like a staple of my year.
Yeah,
and it's like a too little too late.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't have a good glimpse into 2017. Actually, I feel
John Mayer is releasing a record.
Okay,
that's gonna be important.
Do you think LCD Sound System will? Because it seemed like they were working on stuff.
Maybe. Maybe Chance and Gambino.
Yes, they have a collab record that they're working on.
Who else was it? Drake and Kanye.
No. Drake x Kanye for sure.
Let's see. I mean, Kendrick and J. Cole released a record. I guess, was that 15 or 16? I don't remember. I assume Kendrick's going to release something.
Yeah, he has to, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess I don't have too much of a future. I don't have a crystal ball at the moment
Yeah.
on music. Like, everybody's come out with stuff already. Like, it's fine. It's like, Tyco doesn't have to come out with a new record. It's fine.
I mean, Jay-Z's going to release something, right? Adele.
Jay-Z might just, like, move to Africa like Dave. Just be like, hey, man.
Hang out with Dave Chappelle.
Whatever.
Dave Chappelle was going to release something.
Dave Chappelle will release a mixtape this year. Hannibal Buress probably will, actually. He raps in every time he's on radio now.
Yeah. Oh, Dave Chappelle did do a cover of Nirvana with John Mayer at the Hotel Cafe a few days ago.
It's been a good year already.
The Roots are going to release the record in 17. Yeah, that's right. Going to be great.
Oh, geez. And they're an L.A. band, so we can probably see them at some point.
They're in New York.
Well,
the Fallon's in New York.
Oh, right.
Let's see. I'm just seeing what people know is out there. I don't know.
Josh is right now is taking a look at the Googs. Let it be known that the date is January 6th. So he's looking into
8th.
Whoops.
Iggy Azalea is releasing something.
Great.
We need that.
Yeah.
We need that, Iggy. The XX.
Okay.
It's impossible to be as good as a year. Bell Biv DeVoe.
Like, exactly. Like, we kind of can't predict what's going to happen since everything is so... It's not surprise-based. It's just, it can all happen so quickly now.
Yeah.
That we just don't need.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah. Sampha's releasing a record.
How about just, like, maybe in general 2017... You know, we've got
Spoon is releasing a record.
Spoon never really impressed anyone in the office. I mean, I like Spoon.
Yeah. Arcade Fire.
I was just about to say, is the Arcade Fire up to anything?
Lil Wayne.
Oh, great.
I just want Lil Wayne to do features now. I don't need a Lil Wayne record.
He was great on Chances
and Solange.
Yes, exactly. I feel like he just has a voice now, and he should just talk. He shouldn't rap anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man.
Yeah, this was a good compilation of thoughts, reflection. I mean, we went all the way back to March. I mean, back to January, but you know, like
yeah, because we started off with Pac, and he released Malibu in January. That was the first big record of 16.
I legit remember that record coming out and us thinking, like, it's going to be a year.
Yeah.
It just delivered month after month after month.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. Let's start, I guess, right now with it being January, we just start again.
Yeah.
We just start compiling the list.
Yeah. It's only the 8th.
Yeah. You better deliver Kanye Drake mixtape. Basically two worlds colliding.
That picture that Chance and Gambino posted better be a real thing that happened. Unless Chance is going to be on Atlanta, and that'd be cool.
Oh. I would take either.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, buddy.
Cheers.